Okay, so last week, we started a series of maybe 4 weeks called Possessing the Promised Land. And the background of that is you can read about it in Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Yeah, that's right, about 5 books are devoted to this story. But the people of God, Israel, they had been slaves in the land of Egypt for how many years? Who knows? 400 years they had been slaves. And God, through Moses and Aaron, began to start giving the people of God a number of promises for them. He was going to actually take them out. They weren't going to be slaves. They were going to kind of go through the wilderness, and they were going to go to the land of Canaan or Palestine. And this was a land that God had set apart for them. And he had just a number of promises, you know, that it was going to be a place of abundance. God was going to protect them from their enemies. They would be a witness to all the nations around them. Just many, 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 many promises. And so that's exactly what happened through God's mighty hand and quite a few miracles. God set them free from Egypt, and they took off. They went through the Red Sea. They went through the wilderness, and they came to the land of Canaan. And the instruction was that they were to enter the land. They were to possess it. They were to occupy it. And they were to do it by faith. And we've noted that we too have been given many promises from God. They're found in the scriptures. We've been given promises individually, even to our generation, and even to us as a local church, haven't we? So last week we started looking in Numbers 13 and 14 in what could be one of the saddest stories in the Bible. The people get to the promised land. They send 12 spies to go check it out. They come back, and the 10 of the spies say, well, they all agree, it is indeed a land of milk and honey. But then they say, but we've got bad news. It's going to be too hard. There's no way we could enter into the land. I mean, there's giants there. There's fortified cities, and there's no way we can go in. Now, 2 of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, that doesn't make any difference. God said to go in, so let's go in. But instead, the entire congregation decided not to enter in. In fact, they grumbled, they complained, they did a lot of things. But basically, they did not believe God because the giants, the fortified cities. And so therefore, God, even though he said, okay, I forgive you, God said, I'm going to keep providing for you water in the wilderness, the manna. He gave them shoes that would not wear out. But he said, because you did not believe that I would take you in, you cannot go in. I'm going to wait until all of you die 40 years later and your children are grown up. I'll take that generation in. And that's a very sad story because they had seen God move so much. They get to the promised land and yet they don't get to go in because of unbelief. And what's even sadder is that even though we have this story in the scriptures, we have all the warnings associated with this failure of God's people. So many people today are doing the same thing. They're not entering in to all that God has promised. So we want to take this story a little bit deeper today. And you know, it'd be easy to sympathize with the people of God. Well, I mean, after all, considering the big armies and the giants and the fortified cities, you know, I mean, I can see why they wouldn't want to go in. I can see why they wouldn't You know, they didn't believe God could do that. But it wasn't just that the people couldn't muster up faith and courage to go in. The Bible actually calls this generation evil and disobedient. Those are some strong words, aren't they? What was going on here? And I think when we look at this week, we're going to see that it wasn't just an issue of the mind. It was really an issue of the heart. Actually, we sang a new song today, and in English it says something like this: my mind says no, but my heart says, confiando en ti. I'm trusting in you. My heart is trusting in you. And I think that was a great song for this morning. Our mind may say no, but it's our heart that says yes. God doesn't expect us in our mind to rationalize everything. He wants us to believe with our heart. And we're going to talk about that. And we're going to see that faith is something of the heart. It's not just something we have to try to, it's not something we do in our mind. So I'd like for us to start by going into looking at Psalm 106. Now, if you read the Psalms, Psalm 105, 106 tells the story of Israel. And they're pretty long chapters too. But in verse 13 and 14, it starts giving us a clue here. It says, they quickly forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but craved intensely in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Now, that word tempt also means to test or even to provoke. But they forgot his works. And this was a generation who had seen the miracles in Egypt, the seven plagues. They'd seen the death angel go by. They had seen that when they were trapped between the Red Sea and chariots, the chariots of Pharaoh, what happened? God parted the Red Sea, and then he closed it in time to kind of drown the Egyptians. They'd seen him provide miraculously food and meat and water, but they quickly forgot his works in a matter of a few months. Let's look at verse 21 and 22. It says, they forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wonders in the land of Ham, and awesome things by the Red Sea. They were forgetting. Verse 24 and 25. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe in his word, but grumbled in their tents. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. So they despised the land. They didn't believe in his word. They grumbled. And they didn't listen to the voice of the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 95. It's amazing how many times in the scriptures this is talked about. But Psalm 95, let's start verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, or tempted me, or provoked me. They tried me, though they had seen my work. And then it goes on, verse 10. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, surely they shall not enter into my rest. Now here it says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. And it talks about how there are people who err in their hearts. In other words, see, there's a focus on the hearts. And so therefore, they're not going to enter into the promised land. Now let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews is talking about the same subject, why they didn't enter. And let's look at verse 7. It actually quotes from Psalm 95. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, and I like that because it doesn't say the Holy Spirit said, it says the Holy Spirit what? Says, present tense. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Now, what we see here is this business of hardening our heart was really the problem for Israel. They hardened their heart. And we need to ask ourselves, what does it mean to harden our hearts? How does that happen? And actually, this passage from Psalm 95 is mentioned over and over in Hebrews 3 and in Hebrews 4. And that phrase, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, is mentioned three times in these two chapters. So it must be something very important for us. So let's take a little deeper look at this. What are we seeing here? Hardening our heart, erring in our heart, grumbling, they're not listening to his voice, they're craving evil things, they're forgetting his mighty works. What was happening here? I think when we look deeper, we see that a lack of faith is a matter, it's an issue of our heart. It's not of our mind. A lack of faith usually grows over a period of time, and it really happens as a result of our heart being hardened. Because God will give us faith if we're wide open to him for whatever he calls us to. So if we're not believing, if we're not stepping out in faith, there's something going on inside. And by the way, have you ever noticed that some people, they can go through the most difficult of things. And it's difficult, but they trust God through it all. Other people, they have something that's maybe relatively small, and they're just blown away with it. You know, they're just blown out of the water. It's because faith is really something in the heart. And I want us to talk this morning a little bit about the road to a hardened heart, looking at the people of Israel. And I want us to ask ourselves, are we traveling that road to get a hardened heart? If so, we need to get off that road. The first thing it says over and over is that they were testing God. They were tempting God. They were provoking God. Actually, in Numbers 14:22, when this happened, God says, "Surely all the men who've seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice." In other words, this wasn't just the first thing. There have been at least 10 other times when Israel was found provoking God. So what does it mean to provoke or to test? Have you ever known someone who, and you don't have to answer this out loud, who just keeps pestering you, pushing you, bothering you, maybe with demands, with complaints, with maybe questions. They're constantly challenging you. Well, that's what the Israelites were doing to God. And not just once, they've been doing it for 10 times. And God would always, you know, they'd cry out, "Lord, why are you doing this? We don't have any food. You know, have you just kind of put us in this wilderness for us to die without food?" And God brings food. But every time, it's that same attitude, complaining, demands, just pestering. "Lord, why don't you do this? Why are you doing this?" And the result is when we do that with God over and over, our heart hardens. And it's really because they weren't really listening to the Lord, to God, what God was saying. Another thing that we see the people of Israel doing, they were constantly blaming others. Every time something went wrong, what did they do? They blamed God. They blamed Moses. They blamed Aaron. They blamed someone. They never looked at themselves. Do we do the same thing? That's a form of hardening our heart. When we refuse to look at ourselves, but instead start looking at, well, it must be their fault. It must be his fault, her fault. And that's exactly what happened here, you know. In fact, in Numbers 13, 14, as soon as this happened, what did they say? You know, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that God brought us out here to die in the wilderness? Blaming God. And then they started blaming Moses and Aaron. You know, it's their fault. Let's appoint a leader who can kind of really do what's right. They're blaming others. And why is it that we can't just look at ourselves? Because that requires or suggests that maybe we need to make some changes in us. Many people in the scriptures made that same mistake of blaming others. Adam, for example, after he took the fruit, God comes to him. What does he say? "The woman you gave me made me do it." Well, wait a minute. That's a double blame. You know, the woman did it, and you gave me the woman. You know. Saul, when he disobeyed the Lord, you know, and kept part of the animals for a sacrifice. And the prophet Samuel came and started asking him questions. He immediately started saying, "Well, the people, they kept it. They kept the animals that we were supposed to get rid of." You know, it's human tendency, I guess, to blame someone else. But if we're listening to the Lord, that we always look at ourselves. "Lord, what are you saying?" So blaming others, refusing to look at ourselves, leads us to our hearts being hardened. That's part of the road of hardened hearts. Another thing we see, and this is mentioned over and over, not listening to the voice of the Lord. Now, sure, they heard and they saw the miracles, but they weren't really listening. Somehow, if we're not listening to the Lord, we justify things in our mind. We have excuses for why it isn't for me. Or maybe it's not for today. And that's why I like where it says in Psalms 95 and again in Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4, it says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Because today's when we have to do it. If we delay it until tomorrow, yeah, I need to think about that. But tomorrow or next week, that's a form of hardening our heart. That's what Psalm 95 says. And that's exactly what was happening here. See, when we don't listen, many times it's because we're too busy focusing on ourselves. what we want and what makes us feel good. And so we like the miracles that God does, but we're not really interested in kind of hearing what he has to say. And that's exactly what was happening as they went through the wilderness. They liked the miracles, giving bread, manna, parting the Red Sea. And they were often demanding, God, you've got to help me or help us. But they weren't listening to what God was trying to say. Because every one of those miracles he did, he was trying to teach them something, not just do a miracle. By the way, Jesus did that too. For example, when he provided the food, the manna for them to eat. Sure, it provided food for them, but wasn't he trying to teach them something else? Yes. You know, it was that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's what Moses told them. But they didn't hear that part. They just said, oh, good, it's about time he finally gave us something to eat. That was more their attitude. And and he wanted to teach them about trusting. I'm faithful. I'll never let you down. I'll never abandon you. Those are the promises he was giving to them as they were stumbling around and God would do the miracles. So they really weren't listening to what he was trying to get them to hear. Do we do the same? I'm afraid sometimes we do. And that's the road to hardening our heart. Another thing that happens, it happened with them, and I think it happens to us too. Sometimes we have the attitude, God can't do that for me, or he won't do it for me. Maybe for others, but not for me. And that can happen to us. Is that a heart issue? Sure it is. Because when we say something like that, either subconsciously or maybe sometimes consciously, what we're really doing is we're insulting God and what he says. It really is provoking God. It's really saying, God, you're a liar. Because he says he's going to be faithful. And all of a sudden we say, Lord, you can't do that for me. Or you're not doing that for me. Or we say that to one another. We're really saying, God, you're a liar. God, you're untrustworthy. You're not trustworthy. You change your mind on people all the time. You don't love me. You're too fickle. You can't do it. You know, we say, he must be mad at me. Like God is a person, maybe like a parent or maybe a teacher or something who maybe gets mad at us when we do something wrong. No. When we have that attitude, it challenges the integrity of God who loves us. And it's just another way that we provoke him or test him. Do we do the same? God can't do that for me. He won't do it for me. That's basically what Israel is saying. Well, you know, he can't do that. He can't just all of a sudden take care of those cities and those giants in the land. And God saw it as testing him, provoking him, really insulting him. Another thing we see, not just in this particular case, but throughout the other 10 times leading up to this, was that he grumbled and complained over and over. Whenever something didn't go right, what did they do? Instead of trusting him, and they would have done that if they were hearing his voice, but what did they do? They grumbled, complained. That's why, like in Numbers 14, verse 2, I don't think we have that one up there, but it basically it says that night, you know, they all grumbled before the Lord, and they cried all night. You know, really, that's a form of hardening our heart when we grumble and complain. It's really another one of those messages to God that says, I can't trust you. That's why I'm grumbling. Or you lie. You deceive me. You don't keep your promises. You don't know what you're doing. We don't do that way to God. Now, sometimes we may struggle. And there's an attitude that we can have. Lord, I know you're faithful. I'm just having a hard time right now. It seems like all I see is dead ends. And Lord, I know that you want to help me. Will you help me in my unbelief? That's one thing. But if you don't keep your promises, God, I can't trust you. That's very serious. That's a heart issue. Do we do the same? Or, and all these kind of are, you know, very similar. Or, another one is demanding that God do things my way and in my timing. And God, I need you to do this for me now. And I want you to do it where there's no inconvenience for me. I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. I want you to do it for me with the least amount of cost on my part. And I don't want it to be in such a way that others can make fun of me or question me. I want to set the terms. Now, again, we may not say it exactly that way, but that's our attitude, isn't it? And that was their attitude. Did they want to go into the promised land? Sure they did. But they didn't want to do it in a way that was going to cost them something. Like, you know, where they have to get out of their comfort zone. They wanted just God to give it to them on a silver platter. They didn't want to go in and enter and possess it. And it shows a lack of trust. It questions God's ability and his wisdom on handle things, like my life. And we do that same thing. Lord, I want you to do something with me, but I want you to do it now, and I want you to do it this way. And there's really no consideration for his glory. It's all about what I want and what I need now. These are heart issues that the people of Israel at that time, it caused them to harden their hearts. And there's a road today called it hardens our heart, and we don't want to travel that. Okay, one more. And I call this the go-along generation. They became a go-along generation. I'm not sure how to translate that. But anyway, as I explain, maybe you'll catch it. Sometimes it's easier to go with the flow with everyone else. It's safer that way. Actually, Jesus kind of talked about those who prefer the wide road where everybody's going instead of the narrow road where just a few are going. And we don't know this for sure, but I imagine there were probably some people in the camp, in the congregation of Israel, maybe many people who believed that God would lead them. After all, he'd done so before. They may have had some doubts about the council of the 10 spies. Wow, they say we can't do it. And everybody else is kind of agreeing with them. It's easier just to go along with everybody else than to kind of say, wait a minute, didn't God promise this? Faith requires many times that we stand alone. God works it that way. Joshua and Caleb were two people who stood alone. Everyone else did not. In fact, everyone else was upset at those two for suggesting that God could do it. In fact, what happened? They were picking up stones to stone them to death. And then the glory of God appeared, and everyone kind of quieted down, put the stones down, because God had something to say about it. But sometimes when you say, I know God can do it, often it's the people around us, maybe even others that are supposed to be following the Lord, that they almost get upset because we say, yes, God can do it. So we don't want to be the go-along generation where everyone else seems to think this is the way we should do it. So I guess, yeah, my vote's kind of, we shouldn't go in either. Faith means willing to stand alone. A real sad example was Nazi Germany in the 1930s. Hitler takes over. He starts doing things that a lot of people felt uncomfortable with. A lot of people didn't like it. But it was hard to speak up. In fact, after the war, many Germans and a lot of Christians started saying, I had a lot of doubts all along about this. You know, I really didn't think this was right. In fact, they showed their journals. They talked about conversations that they had maybe with their best friend or with their spouse. Yeah, look, Judy can agree. Didn't I kind of say something? Because after the war, fingers started pointing. How did we let this happen? And all of a sudden, a lot of people didn't feel good about it. And you know what? A lot of people didn't feel good about it. There were a few exceptions. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a pastor. He was actually living in New York during when Nazi Germany started taking over. He decided, something's not right. Someone needs to speak up. A lot of the churches seem to be going along with this. So he went back to Germany to speak up. And he lost his life for doing it. One reason is because a lot of people privately, they were saying, yeah, I agree, but if we stand up, they may stone us or kill us. Same thing. They became a go-along generation. And I certainly hope and pray that our generation isn't that type of generation when God begins to speak. And we have that at, well, nobody else is speaking up. Nobody else seems to be concerned. You know, maybe God's not really doing that much right now anyway. You know, maybe we just need to kind of be comfortable and kind of hide in our homes. No. In this last generation, God's going to be saying, let's get up. Let's start preaching the gospel. Yeah, but what if they stone us? They probably will. They may. But we have to stand up. These are all, by the way, heart issues, aren't they? These are ways that we can harden our hearts. And they will keep us from inheriting the promises that God's given us. If we don't enter in, God will find people who will want to believe in Him and who will follow joyfully. When there's a lack of faith, we can usually look and see where there's been a hardening of hearts leading up to that time. Someone's been traveling that road, and it's a road of going along, demanding that God do things my way. What are some of the other things? Testing, provoking God, grumbling, complaining, blaming others, not listening to the voice of the Lord, having the attitude, God can't do that for me or He won't do that for me. Those are the attitudes that harden our hearts. And then when God says, enter in, we are, we're almost upset about it. God can't do that. He's let me down before. When really, He hasn't let us down. He's provided miraculously. Let's go back to Hebrews 3, starting in verse 12. I may have put 13 on here, but we'll start in verse 12. It says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. That's pretty strong, isn't it? But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today. And by the way, is today today? Yes, it is. So that none of you will be hardened. See, that's the hardness of our heart. Will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. while it is said, the second time he says this, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who had sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear they should not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see they were not able to enter because of unbelief. But it caused them an evil, unbelieving hearts, disobedient. Those are the things they, you know, it says. So we're talking about faith here. It's a heart issue much more than a mind issue. And what happens when we hear his voice? Do we just kind of reject it? Because, well, that's kind of hard. Or do we, maybe in between, we justify why we can't do it today in this moment? We say, yeah, I know, that's probably something I need to do. But already we're kind of grudgingly accepting it. We're not doing it with joy. We're making excuses. We're complaining about it, challenging God's wisdom. Lord, I don't think this is really for today. Maybe next year. We harden our hearts. So we can reject it, we can justify it, or we can joyfully obey in faith. We trust him, even though we might be scared. The choice is ours. Another verse I didn't read in Psalm 106, it's verse 12. Then they believed his words, they sang his praise. You know, when we really believe God's word, yes, Lord, I believe that, it produces joy inside of us. We it produces praise in us. So if we find ourselves trying to enter the promised land, I don't really like this. I don't think this is going to work. Grumbling, complaining, lack of joy. We really are not truly believing. If we're truly believing, we're doing it with praise. We may be scared, but we're doing it with joy. Wow, God's doing this. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm excited to see it. And praise you, Lord. I praise you even now. I thank you for what you're doing. On the other hand, we can do it with joy, or like Hebrews 3, 18 and 19 says, and to whom did he swear they would not enter his rest, but those who were disobedient. So we see they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Or verse 2 of the next chapter, we didn't even get into chapter 4, but it says, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because they weren't listening. And it says, and because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Verse 6. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. And then it goes on again in verse 7, talking about, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Three times in the book of Hebrews, once in Psalms, it says, today if you hear his heart, do not harden your hearts. And I think that's what God wants to speak to us today. Let's be careful that we don't harden our hearts. Hardening our hearts always happens in just little things that we do. Complaining, grumbling, demanding of God, you know, and you put all that together and you do that over a period of months or years, and our hearts become hardened. And so when God says, enter and possess, we won't do it. We'll have excuses. Excuse me. So in response, and we want to pray now, are we traveling the road to a hardened heart? Have some of the things we've talked about said, yeah, that's kind of me. Yeah, I do that sometimes. If you do, I encourage you to repent. Start over. Say, Lord, I've been doing this all wrong. Change my heart. Can we do that? Let's pray. Lord, as we've kind of looked deeper into what happened in Numbers 13 and 14, when the people did not enter in, we see it was really, their heart was not right. Through a series of little things, they had hardened their heart. They were provoking you. They were grumbling. They were demanding of you. They were questioning your ability to do things. A lot of things. Lord, a lot of things that we too often do. Lord, we know that in the future you're going to be calling us to enter into the land of promises that you have for us. In fact, Lord, it's real close. And so, Lord, we ask that you would examine our hearts. And anywhere, Lord, where there's a hardening going on, we ask that you would shine your light on that dark spot. That we would be able to take it to you and say, Lord, I give this back to you. That's not supposed to be in my life. I want to be a person who hears your voice, who praises you and is thankful and joyful. Lord, replace our hardened hearts with hearts that pursue you in joy and in faith. So, Lord, just speak to us, even now. Lord, are the things that we've talked about today that we do the same? And I just want to say, if that's you, just take a minute now and just tell the Lord, I want to do it differently. I repent. Lord, we also just want to remember that it's today if we hear his voice. We're not to harden our hearts. And I just want to encourage you, if today God's speaking something to you, don't harden your hearts by saying, yeah, that's probably something I need to kind of take care of. Yeah, maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. Maybe after summer's over. If today you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.